Romans chapter 8. I know from time to time, we've all asked the question of situations in our life and circumstances going on around us. And I think we ask it not necessarily because maybe we feel slight or anything like that, but we ask it because we genuinely want to know, what's God trying to do in my life? And from time to time, we'll ask the question, well, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? Lord, what's the purpose of this? I don't see anything in it at all, God, other than just trouble and pain and frustration. Why am I having to go through this? Anybody besides me ask that question? Okay, good. We got a few honest people here this morning. Or you might just be looking at certain situations around you and say, what in the world's going on? We've all asked that one, I know. What in the world is going on? And this morning I want to try to help us, again, just a simple principle, as Wednesday night's message was, that will help us, I hope, keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. My faith looks up to thee. Remember what the Bible said over there in Hebrews chapter 12? It was talking about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame, despising the cross, or endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Father. And then it says, for consider him, Jesus, which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There are situations that come along in life and we don't know the answers to them. We don't know how to move forward. We don't know which way to look. The only way you can look is to Jesus. That's the only place you can look. He's got the answer every time, without fail. He's faithful yesterday, he's faithful today, he'll be faithful tomorrow. His faithfulness is great. He never changes. In a world that constantly changes, you and I change our minds more every day than God ever has. We're finicky sometimes. I'm glad he's not. I'm glad he's faithful and he's a rock and we can stand on him and look to him for our help when we need it. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We'll read a portion here this morning and pray and dive in head first. Bible says this, Romans 8, 18. For I reckon, I'm glad God's Southern, aren't you? I know that's so old, but sometimes you got to say it. It just, you know. Anyway, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I was teaching the boys downstairs this morning about Abraham, probably the last lesson on Abraham, about he considered himself a stranger and a pilgrim. This world was not his home. Even though God gave him a land grant over there, he's looking for a heavenly country, the Bible says. He was looking for a better city, better place. I hope you are. I know when troubles come in this life, man, it feels like the whole world's closed in around you and it's all collapsing. But listen, it'll be better one day. You're saved and born again, it'll be a whole lot better one day. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And that next word is together until now. It's a little bit comforting to know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing together, not just me and you. It's comforting to know that the earth and the creation that God's made is, I don't know how it happens, but it's groaning because of the sin and the wickedness on this earth, and it's groaning and it's waiting for a better day. 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Don't you? Sometimes. I do. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We'll deal with that in depth here in a minute. 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience. That's a tough one, isn't it? That's not our society, man. That's not the way we're built these days. We like everything instant. If your phone takes more than a half a second to load up Facebook, you're frustrated. Come on, if it takes more than 20 seconds to send an email, you're pulling your hair out. Or I am. We go through the drive-thru line at McDonald's and it's more than 2 minutes, we're getting frustrated. We don't do well with patience. I believe that's why God has to put us through situations that require it, so we'll exercise it. 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Infirmities, sickness, trouble, difficulties. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I am certain you, like me, have got on your face before God and you didn't know what to say. Other than, oh God. I'm glad God understands that. Amen. 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 28 is our text verse this morning. You know it well. You could quote it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And verse 29 is very important. It scares a lot of people. It scares a lot of fundamental independent Baptists. 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to preach this morning a title message, just very simple, finding the good in any situation. Finding the good in any situation. Let's pray and ask God to help us, because we certainly need it this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love your Bible. Lord, we love this church. God, we need your help today. Lord, we need your guidance and direction and wisdom, and Lord, the peace that passeth all understanding is so needed. I pray you'd help me this morning, Lord, to say the words that are acceptable in your sight. Father, please help our church's heart to be open to the Word of God, that it might minister grace to the hearers, that it might be effectual and profitable in our lives. God, I pray it would have free course today, that the Holy Ghost would not be grieved, nor tempted, nor quenched in any way. Lord, that you'd help our church. We love you. Our faith does look up to you today. Where else could we turn but to the Lord? And I pray you'll help us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, from time to time, we're all going to wonder, why is this happening to me? What in the world's going on? Something like that is going to be asked. And for the child of God, if you're saved this morning, you're born again, on your way to heaven, no matter what happens to you, when you die, you're out of here, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Isn't that a blessing to know that? That's a comfort. Listen, but for the child of God, you and I can rest assured that whatever it is that's happening to us, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, that God wants to work a good work in our hearts through that situation. Amen. Whether it's pleasant or whether it's putrid. Best I could do on alliteration quickly. Whether it's gut-wrenching or glorifying, God wants to work a good work in every one of our lives in here this morning who are saved. Amen. He wants to. And those of you who aren't saved, he's trying to get your attention. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to love you. He's already shown that He loved you enough to die on the cross for your sins. He wants to guide your life, and He wants to, as it said in verse 29, conform you to the image of Christ. That's the direction that God wants to go. That's the desire of His heart. But for the child of God especially, God puts us through some things sometimes and lets us experience some things, good and bad, heavy and light, to teach us a lesson and to show a good work in our lives in every situation. But especially, I think, you know, just because of who we are, flesh and blood, and the way that we are, and really in a lot of ways Americans, I mean, we got it better than anybody on the face of the earth, folks. Especially here in Russell County, we got it really, really good. And from time to time, difficult situations are going to arise. Trouble's going to come. And when that happens, you have to keep in mind, God's trying to work something good in your life and my life. All things. That means good and bad. All things work together for good to them that love God. You love God today?
Amen.
You willing to go through what He asked you to go through? Because He wants to work a good work. You ever heard somebody say, oh, you got to find the silver lining to that dark cloud? That's a adaptation of Romans 8:28. Especially in the tough times, especially in trials, especially in tricky situations, God can work good in it. Even if you and I are reaping a bitter harvest from evil seeds we have sown years ago, God can still work good out of it. I think about Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers. Remember that? And he gets down there and he gets in Potiphar's house and he gets wrongfully accused and attacked by Potiphar's wife, and he runs out of there because he says, I'm not going to sin against God. Proved he loved God, and what it cost him, years in prison. Gets down there in prison, God gives him favor with that jailer, and he interprets those dreams. Those guys get out of there, and one guy goes back to being in his position. The other guy, Pharaoh, hangs. And what did he get for that? They forgot him. And finally, Pharaoh has a dream, and I believe it was the baker. Where's the butler? Help me out, you Bible scholars. Butler? Butler's the good guy. Okay. The butler, he says, oh, yeah, there's a guy down there in prison that can interpret dreams. And Pharaoh says, well, get him up here. He does, and Joseph says, now listen, God's going to interpret this dream. And he gives it to him, and Pharaoh exalts Joseph to that position. And all, you know the story, his brothers come down because of the famine up there in Israel, and his brothers come down there, and he goes through all that. And you know the phrase in Genesis 50 that's so captivated me all these years? He said, ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it for good. How in the world could you look at being sold by your family, put in prison, attacked, sexually assaulted, and be falsely accused, and put in prison wrongfully for all those? How could you look at that and say that's good? Because you love God. It's the only way it happens. Because if we love ourselves, we get bitter at God. And when we ask that question, why is this happening to me? We're mad at God. Not asking God, what are you trying to work in my life? So for us to allow God to work good in our lives in any situation, two things are required. Number one, we have to love God and trust God more than anything and anyone. He has to be the king of our life. He has to be preeminent. And we have to look at Him as everything that He does is good, because it is. And then number two, it's going to require honesty and humility before God to agree with what He is doing is in our best interest. And that's hard. That's hard. All right, so here in Romans 8, if you flip back over to verse 18, the context of verse 28, and I think rightly so, the context is a difficult, negative situation. Because it starts out in verse 18, Romans 8, 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," I wish they'd all go away. I wish I didn't have to deal with them. But man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. All you got to do is wake up in the morning, trouble's going to find you. Difficult situation's going to find you. The sufferings of this present time. And if you look down there, he says they're not compared, are not worthy to be compared with the glory. If you'll hold your place right there, go to 2 Corinthians, just back of, or forward a few pages there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. It is a challenge for you and I as God's children sometimes to keep an eternal focus on our life and not just let it all be temporally focused. It's a challenge for us to put on our Bible goggles, if you will, and look at this world and our life and see what is God working here. That's not just a temporal thing, it's an eternal thing. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 4, 14, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to" what? You know what God's working in your life and my life through various situations? He is working in such a way that we will give glory to Him. That we'll magnify Him in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. 16. "For which cause we faint not." I hope not. Right? Trouble's going to come, but don't faint. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." 17. "For our..." And what's he say? "Light affliction." Now guys, Paul has suffered more than you and I ever will. He was beaten twice, whipped. They had a warrant out for his death in Jerusalem. He's shipwrecked, got bit by a snake, a venomous beast, I think it says. A viper, right? He suffered more than you. And he looked at all that suffering that he went through and he said, "That's just light affliction." How could you say that? There's only one way you can say that. Keep reading. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." You know the Bible says, I can't remember the reference on it right now, but the Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy." You're going through a tough time, man, just go through it because it's going to get better. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Again, God's working in us for His glory, not ours. God's working in us for His goodness, not ours. And he goes on to say, 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God wants us to have an eternal outlook on our life, an eternal outlook on the situations that are around us. He wants us to look at the eternal weight of those things and seek out the glory of God through them. Romans 8. I think it would really encourage us if we could keep this eternal mindset with us as we go through situations, because we get such tunnel vision sometimes of, of the things going on, and it paralyzes us, and it stops us in our tracks, and it uproots us, and it just has all kinds of negative influences on us. And God says, listen, all those things can work together for good if you love God, if you've got the right focus. If you look here at verse 19, it says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Troubles and trials and tricky situations, you know what they'll make us do? They'll make us look for the day we see Jesus in the clouds. They'll make us long for his appearing. Because I don't know about you, I can't wait to get out of this body. I can't wait to get out of this present evil world and get up there with Jesus and just rejoice and praise him and come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and then go live in that place he's prepared for me. Come on, man. Who wouldn't want to be there? So if there's one good thing that comes out of troubles and trials, it makes us long for the appearing of our Savior. And the Bible calls it our blessed hope. I don't have hope in man. I don't have hope in decisions that I make or that you make. I got hope in Jesus. Amen. Looking for him. Can't wait to see him. 19, it says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. And then it comes down there in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. You know, sin's corrupted everything around this world. And it's bondage. And everybody in the room's got to deal with it, because sin always complicates life, whether it's your sin or somebody else's. It always complicates life. The Bible says, 22, we know that the whole creation groans. So you see this, verse 18, we got these present sufferings. And then we've got this waiting to be delivered and this groaning and travailing, verse 22, and pain together. It's this desire to get out of the situation that we're in and go to a better situation. And that'll happen at the rapture. If you look here in verse, I know some people don't may necessarily agree with this. It's okay. I love you. And hopefully we can go on together. But look at verse 23. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I know there's a lot of discussion about adoption and those kind of things, and there's a doctrine there that we won't really get into in the weeds this morning. But the adoption of salvation is that this vile body becomes fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorious body, Philippians 3:21. And my sinful flesh, listen, is adopted into the presence of God where there is no sin. That's the rapture. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Philippians 3:20, this vile body be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a day that's going to be. But until then, turn to Titus 2. We'll come back to Romans 8. Just hold your place there. Until then, God would have us be as pure and as clean and as righteous as we can possibly be. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I've quoted this verse already. Titus 2:11. Bible says this, for the grace of God, Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. See, that grace of God that saved our souls does not give us liberty to sin. It teaches us to go against sin in our lives, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God does not give us liberty to sin. The grace of God gives us strength to live the world. I'll get it out here. The grace of God gives us the strength to live the life God wants us to live in this present world. That's the grace of God. Not excusing sin, not looking past blatant sinfulness, not putting up with people to where it's a blight upon the name of Jesus Christ. The grace of God says, you live soberly, you live godly, you live the way I want you to live in this present world. Amen. And he gives us the strength to do it. Amen. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 12. I'll tell you what, just go over there right now. You're there. We're going to come back to Titus 2, so you're going to have to have a few places held on here, okay? 2 Corinthians 12, listen, we're talking about grace. What's the grace of God do? It teaches us to live a godly life. It teaches us to live a life that pleases Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Bible says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." You know what questions Paul's asking? Why is this happening to me? What in the world's going on, Lord? And God said, verse 9, "My," what? "Grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You says, I can't go through that. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. I'm so weak, preacher. I just can't get. You can do all things through Christ and the grace of God, which is sufficient for what you need. "Therefore, 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." God, Lord, why is this happening to me? To weaken you. To weaken me. God, why am I going through this? So that you and I will put our focus squarely on Jesus Christ and nobody else. Boy, I wish it didn't have to be that way. Titus 2, flip back over there real quick. Titus 2, the grace of God teaches us how to live in this present world. Verse 13, "And because of all the troubles we experience, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." Why? "That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You want to do good works for God? I sure do. It means there's going to be some issues come. Going to have to deal with some situations. 15, this is what he says to the pastor. "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And I'm telling you from the pastor's position, that's hard. Because a pastor that loves his church cares about his people. Every one of them. "But I'd a whole lot rather have a man despise me than have God despise me. I'd a whole lot rather please my Savior than please another sinful man." Romans 8. And listen, that ought to be your desire. That shouldn't just be the pastor's desire. That ought to be every person in the church's desire. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Amen. Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit," boy, I'm glad about this. He's called the Comforter over there in John 14, 15. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what I think that practically means? There's a lot of talk about this. I might not be right about it. But I think that means this: when you and I are in trouble and distress and tough situations, we're liable not to pray according to the way we ought to pray. We might ask some things for God to do that aren't His will. And so God says, listen, I'm going to help your infirmities. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit pray some things for you, because you're not always in your flesh going to know how you ought to pray. I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to my heart. Because he goes on to say, 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? Hey, look up here. You want to do God's will? I sure do. You want to please God? I sure do. Can I just tell you that God's will is not always what we want to do? In fact, because we're flesh and blood and He's holy and righteous in all ways, many times He's going to ask us to do things that this flesh is nowhere near wanting to do. Remember Jesus in the garden? God manifest in the flesh. And he fell down. He was so burdened about what the will of the Father was. And he knew, man, he knew what was coming. He knew the wrath of man that was going to be poured out. He knew the devil was going to try to do everything he can to destroy not just Jesus, but the church and Jesus. And he knows what's coming, and he knows the pain and the agony that he's going to have to go through. And he says, God, Father, please, this cup can pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. My friends, sometimes you and I are going to get on our face and say, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. I know, Lord, I can see it 2020 down the pipe, what's going to happen. And I don't want to go through it, God. But Father, if this is your will, I'm going to do it. And you know what that is, church? That's verse 29. That's being conformed to the image of His dear Son. Because Jesus denied Himself, did He not? Jesus denied His flesh. Jesus endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. He was humble and became obedient under the cross, or became obedient even to the death of the cross. He esteemed and counted himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. I'm glad I can follow his example. Nobody ever said it'd be easy. Nobody ever said you'd love every step of the way. So I ask you this morning, do you love God? The reality of this life is the trials, the tough times, and the tricky situations will prove whether we love God or not. It'll prove what our love is. We are called and predestinated for a purpose, to be conformed to the image of Christ, of Jesus Christ, of His dear Son. That's what verse 29 is talking about. God didn't predestinate anybody to heaven or hell. He predestinated sinners to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He's trying to do in our lives, guys. That's the good that in every situation, if we'll try to find it, God can conform us to the image of His dear Son in every single situation if we'll let Him. Amen. It's what He's after. That's His will. It's what He wants. You know the verses. Flip over there just a couple of chapters. Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, not anybody else's responsibility, it's mine and yours individually, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. No, we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, aren't we? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, and what is it? Will of God. How am I going to be able to prove God's will in my life in tough situations? I better have my mind conformed to Him, not to the world. How am I going to get through tough situations and be conformed to the image of Christ? I got to have my mind renewed and transformed by the Bible. Listen, that Bible does not think the same way the world thinks. That Bible doesn't think the same way religion thinks. That Bible doesn't guide us and direct us in the same way that a philosopher or Dr. Phil or anybody else like that might guide us and direct us. It's God's Word. We have to submit ourselves to it. You ever heard somebody say in a situation, I'm just trying to get God's mind on it? You ever said that? I've said that a couple times. And I wonder, what in the world does that mean after I said it? What it means is this. You want to get God's mind on the matter, you're going to have to get in God's Word. Amen. Because that is God's mind. That's where He shows it. And then it's going to be some time of prayer. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's going to take fasting. You're going to have to miss some meals on purpose to show God how serious you are about getting an answer from Him. And then it's always safe to get good godly counsel, because there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verse 7 is where we'll begin reading. We've talked about a lot of this over in verse 21 about our vile bodies being fashioned like unto His glorious body, that at the rapture, Philippians 3 verse 7, the Bible says this, but what things were gained to me, Paul speaking of course, after he just gave his resume of being a Pharisee. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That doesn't make sense, does it? The world looks at that and says, why would you give all that popularity and prestige and power up to go get put in prison, Paul? He says, because I love Jesus. Why would you do something, Paul, that nobody understands? Because I love Jesus. I want to please my Savior. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. How do you and I get counted righteous? By faith. How did Abraham get counted righteous? By faith. How do people in the future count righteous? By faith. 10, that I may know Him. We We really get to know people when we go through things with them, don't we? Paul says, I want to get to know my Savior better. What's that going to take? Going through the things Jesus went through. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. What'd he say? He wanted to be made conformable unto His death. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What did Jesus tell you and I we've got to do? Take up our cross. Now, they're not going to go nail us to a tree of wood and hang us on the side of the Damascus Road on Calvary's Mountain. But what's the cross? It's the denial of self. It's the denial of that flesh. Being made conformable unto His death. And then it says, backing up there the next phrase, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His. You know, the people you're closest to in this life are ones that you've gone through difficult times with. Because you share in the grief and you share in the heartache and you share in the difficulty of that. When God brings you through it, man, it's an inseparable bond. But for you and I to be able to fellowship with the Savior, we're going to have to go through some of the things He went through. We're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to tell our flesh, I don't care how you feel, we're going to do what the Bible says to do. Talking a few months ago with somebody who was going through a very, very hard time in their life. They didn't understand why God brought them to the place He had brought them to. They didn't understand what God's goal was for their life. They didn't understand what being in the place they were in was gonna help them in the future. There's a lot of questions. As we sat at the table and wept together, this person made a statement I'll never forget, and I don't think it's probably not original to them, but it helped me so much. And through tears and broken voice, they said, I know with God, sometimes the only way is through. Church, sometimes you can't go around the problems. Sometimes you got to go through them. And when that happens, we can rejoice that the grace of God is sufficient to bring us through. Mom, if you would come to the organ or piano, I don't care which one you come to. If you grab a bright red book this morning, number 288, sorry, number 488. Nope, that's not it either. I'll get it. 388. Let's stand this morning. Listen, the altar is going to be open. If you'd like to come pray, church could sure use you to do that. Number 388, as we close out this morning, have thine own way, Lord. I hope that's your attitude. I hope that's your heart's desire. I hope we'll see ourselves as the clay and He is the potter. Allow him to mold us and make us into every way he wants us to be as a church body. Let's sing this morning. The altar's open if you want to come pray. May this be the prayer of your heart this morning as we close out. Have thine own way. Family, hope you'll come. Our kids are taking up the missions offering. You continue to give that. That goes to our missionary kids as they come here in a couple weeks for missions revival. Be a blessing to them. And so you can help these children out with that to be a blessing. But let's be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother Rick's getting them where they need to go.